Please take your Bible and open to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse number 1. I forewarn you, we are going to look at several different passages today, and we are going to talk about this subject, I will come again. I will come again. It's found in our text, John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. There's the title. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great hymn that we just sang together, reminding us that Jesus is coming. He's coming to get all of his children. And we believe his coming is very close at hand. Help me today as I speak on this subject to give many scriptures and the simple truths that are mentioned in these scriptures that hopefully will remind us, first of all, that you're coming, but also comfort our hearts. We see so many things around us that really are disappointing and discouraging, but boy, what a promise this is, that you are coming for us, and one day soon you're going to set everything straight. So please, Lord, bless the message today. May our hearts be open and receptive, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Not too long ago, we celebrated the birth of our Savior on a day we call Christmas. All of us, I'm sure, are very, very glad that Jesus came the first time to live his life, to give his life on the cross, to be buried and rise again on the third day. All of that so that we could have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Well, just like the Bible predicted that he would come the first time, and he did, the Bible also predicts for us that he will come the second time to rescue his own and eventually set everything right in this world that man has messed up. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly when that will be, but the Bible does give us signs to watch for. And according to those signs, if you're paying attention, you must believe that Jesus' second coming is very close at hand. In the message today, I'm going to take a little time and look at some scriptures that show us things that our Lord told us about this second coming. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you. Let me just give you the points, all right? Each one has a separate scripture we're going to look at. Number one, he told us he was coming back. Number two, he told us how he would come back. Number three, he told us he would come as a thief in the night. Number four, he told us that many people would be overtaken with surprise and shock. Number five, he told us that he would come back in spite of the scoffers. Number six, he told us he is coming back for those who look for him. So those will be my thoughts today as we go along, and I encourage you to listen very carefully and be encouraged this morning, child of God. Our Savior's return is close at hand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless, please, the message. Simple points, simple thoughts, all come out of the scriptures that we're going to look at. Encourage our hearts today, please. May our eyes be ever lifted upward as we await the return of our Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice here in our text, our first thought, he told us he was coming back. Verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Please notice, number one, he told us he was coming back. I will come again. This is not a hope-so thing. This is not a maybe thing, but rather this is a very sure and certain thing Jesus is coming back. As you'll see in this message as we go along, there's many different verses in the Bible that speak about his second coming. In fact, there are so many verses that speak about his second coming that it cannot and should not be ignored. In fact, those who do ignore it at their own peril, because our Savior is coming back just like he said. Number one, he told us he was coming back. Number two, he told us how he would come back. Notice the very next book of the Bible, the book of Acts, chapter number 1 and verse number 9. The book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse number 9. Now, I'll set the stage for you. The disciples are with Jesus and they watch him ascend up into heaven. And while they're looking up, watching him ascend up into heaven, verse number 9 of Acts chapter 1 says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" So they watch him disappear from their sight in a cloud. And the two angels said basically this: "What are you doing staring up into heaven? You've got a job to do. He gave you a job to do earlier in this chapter, but I want you to know," these angels said, "I want you to know he's going to return as he went up." So think about this, beloved. He went up in a cloud. That means he's coming back in the clouds. The Bible says he went up in a physical body. Well, guess what? That means he's coming back in a physical body. The Bible shows us here that he went up visibly. Guess what? When he returns, he's coming back visibly. The Bible says he went up from the earth. Well, guess what? He's coming back to the earth. The Bible says he went up from the presence of his own. Well, guess what? He's coming back to his own. In short, he's returning much like he left. Now, I realize that some of you listening this morning, you might think, well, in the rapture, we're going to be caught up together to meet him in the clouds, and you know, certain things, he's not touching down on the earth and all that. But you got to understand that his second coming actually has two different parts to it. One prior to the tribulation and one at the end of the tribulation. In the first part, he comes, of course, in the rapture. He does, in the clouds, call us up to meet him there. And his feet don't touch down on the Mount of Olives. But as he comes at the end of the tribulation to set up his kingdom on this earth, his feet literally touch down on the Mount of Olives and it splits in two. So you got to understand what the Bible teaches on this subject. But friend, know this, he is coming back. And he is coming back just like he left. It's going to be very, very similar. So he told us he was coming back, number one. He told us how he would come back, number two. He also told us, number three, that he would come as a thief in the night. Notice 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to the right in our Bibles. We're going past the book of Hebrews and James, and we're going to go to 1 Peter and then 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Aren't you glad? Praise God for that. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but," here's the reason why it seems to be taken so long, "but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I can stop reading right there. You notice this passage, and there are one or two others too, mention the fact that Jesus is coming back as a thief in the night. I remember when we still had four little girls living at home, and all through each one of their infant stages, when one of the babies would cry at night, I would normally, with my elbow, nudge my wife and say, "Honey, the baby's crying." Isn't that true? That's normally what happened. That's a whole series of sermons we could talk about there. By the way, don't follow my example, all right? But I only say that to say this. If now, of course, it's just the two of us in the parsonage there. If now we hear any noises in the middle of the night, it's probably best if I don't nudge my wife and say, "Honey, go check out that noise." Because it could be a thief or a robber. It could be somebody breaking in. It could be somebody who's coming, like it says here, a thief in the night. You think about a thief breaking into someone's home in the night. That means several things. It means, of course, that Jesus' coming is going to be sudden. Suddenly, you know. He's coming back suddenly. He's coming back also, it means this, without warning. Normally a thief doesn't warn you that they're coming. By the way, 2 weeks from tonight on a Thursday evening, I'm going to break into your home. No, they don't do that. They don't do that. And our Savior's return is going to be without warning. This means also, by the way, that those who are not expecting him will be caught unprepared. Because they're not looking for him. They're not prepared. They're not waiting for him to return. So those who are not expecting him will be caught unprepared. It also means that those who are not ready for his return are going to suffer great loss. I'll tell you this, when our Lord does return, you don't want to be unprepared, and you don't want to be not expecting him, because you will suffer great loss. These are all reasons, by the way, that messages like this are very important, because we need to be watching. And we need to be waiting, and we need to be expecting his return. Why? Because number one, he told us he was coming back. Number two, he told us how he would come back. Number three, he told us he would come as a thief in the night. Number four, he also told us that many people would be overtaken with surprise and shock. We're going to go back to the left in our Bible, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. So you'll go back through 1 Peter and James and Hebrews, and then, of course, you'll go through Philemon, and then you'll have Titus and Timothy, and both Timothy's, of course, and then 2 Thessalonians, and then 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 1. And we're going to read verses 1 to 4. But of the times and the seasons, brethren... Notice he's talking to brethren, Christians, born-again believers. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Notice that again. We touched on that in the last point, didn't we? For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You notice these verses are talking about our Lord's return, and for some, they're going to be talking about in verse 3, peace and safety, but what's actually going to happen? Sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. In each one of those four births that my wife had, of course there was one miscarriage in there as well, but in each one of the four births that my wife had, how do I say this delicately? She grew large. Honest? Truth? Yeah. Each one of those four births that my wife had, and I know it'll sound strange when I tell you this, but she was roughly 6 weeks overdue with each one. So you can imagine, she had big babies. Had they been boys, they probably would have come out and said, "Could I have the car keys?" But they were big. All four of them were big. And the day comes, of course, as you know, if you've been involved in this at all with husband and wife relationships and so forth, that it's time for the birth, and let's say the water breaks and the contractions start, and Sarah's situation always different, you know, 6 weeks overdue and so forth. With one of them, was it Rebecca? Yeah, she was our problem child, I think, but not really. She wasn't a problem child, and still isn't. But her labor was long, and the doctor tried to induce labor, and over a whole day period, and sent Sarah home. Didn't work. Happened 3 days in a row. I guess for whatever reason, she liked it in there. Didn't want to come out into this cruel world. But anyway, finally on the third day, of course, she was born. And that happened in 1983. I was pastoring a church in Appleton, Wisconsin. And the people at the hospital grew tired of the members of our church calling to see how their pastor's wife was doing in this whole process. And I think they were really glad to get rid of us, to be honest, when it was finally over with. But anyway, the time comes, of course, when the labor sets in, right? And then you're going to have the baby. And I remember the latter three, I was able to be a part of it to some degree. In the very first one, I was in the military, and I was in the Army. And we, at that time, that would be 1975, when April was born, they didn't allow me into the room where she had the baby. Yeah, she was Nurse Ratchet, I think. But she didn't put up with any guff from anybody and made me stay out in the hallway. So, okay. Anyway, that was another thing I had to deal with. But anyway, you know how it is when it's time for the birth. When it's time for the birth and the labor sets in. And of course, you can be in the wrong spot and wrong place in life. You can be in an inconvenient spot or place in life. It just all depends when it takes place, you know. Just like we learned of in the previous point, Jesus coming as a thief in the night. You can imagine those who are unprepared, those who are not ready, those who are not, you know, watching and waiting and expecting it. They're going to be caught unprepared, and they're going to be surprised and shocked when it all happens. I don't know how any of this plays into it, but there's so much fascination right now with unidentified flying objects, or now they're called unidentified aerial phenomena. I guess they don't want to call them UFOs anymore, you know. Unidentified flying phenomena, and that makes me think about phenomena. Dun, 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 dun. Phenomena. But anyway, that's a whole other series of sermons too. They are really captured with us. The world, a lot of the world is today, even our military, and talking a lot about it and so forth, doing research and whatnot. And I don't know if that's going to play into it at all. But how else are you going to explain thousands upon thousands of people that are born again being raptured off this earth when it takes place? They're going to have some excuse. They're going to have some reason, and maybe it will be those unidentified flying phenomena, you know. But who knows? Unidentified aerial phenomena. Who knows how they're going to explain it away? But you know what they will do? They will explain it away. They'll have a reason that will convince the unbelievers that it wasn't the rapture. They'll have a reason to explain it away. Because Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night, and many, many, many people will be overtaken with surprise and shock. And then, of course, they're going to hear this explanation, whatever it is. And for a little bit, their minds are going to be put at ease. I have an idea, too, and this, I think, is true. But I have an idea that there's going to be some who the light's going to come on in their head and in their heart. And they're going to remember, Grandma told me about this. Grandpa told me about this. Those crazy church members down there at Stoughton Baptist, they told me about this. This is not what the government is telling us. This is what's called the rapture. Notice that the Bible says that these folks are going to be all wrapped up in, verse 3, peace and safety. Is the world looking for peace and safety today? They sure are, because of all the wars that are going on. By the way, keep praying for the nation of Israel. We need to hold them up in our prayers. But there are many wars throughout the world right now that are happening that the news is not telling us about. And it's going to get worse and worse, the Bible says, until our Lord returns. But they're all wrapped up in peace and safety. And when they are, the Bible says, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And notice this, and they shall not escape. Wrapped up in peace and safety, but they'll be unprepared and they'll be caught off guard. And there's no escape because they're not prepared. By the way, Jesus told us all these things. Why? So that men and women could get ready. Some of us remember back in the 1970s, this topic was also very important, and we had some books that were being written and read by many people, like The Late Great Planet Earth. Hal Lindsey is the author. Great book, by the way, if you've never read it. I can remember also four different tribulation-type movies. I have these on VHS tape. And by the way, I still have a VHS player. I'm an ancient person. But they all had to do with the rapture and the events that may take place afterwards. Of course, many of us are familiar with the Left Behind series of books. And there's even a movie that was, I think a couple of them that were made, called Left Behind 1 and Left Behind 2. And I think I have both of those as well, and several other movies like this that speak about our Lord's return. Friend, He is coming. And many people are going to be surprised, because it will happen as a thief in the night. And many people will be unprepared and will be in shock and surprise because it actually took place, like those crazy Bible-believing Christians have been telling us for so long. Well, the Bible says, and our Lord told us these things. He told us He was coming back, number one. He told us how He would come back, number two. He told us He would come as a thief in the night, number three. He told us that many people would be overtaken with surprise and shock, that's number four. He also told us, number five, that He would come back in spite of the scoffers. In spite of the scoffers. Now we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. So we're moving back to the right in our Bible, past 1 and 2 Timothy and, you know, Philemon and Hebrews and, you know, Titus. I skipped Titus, didn't I? And past James, then to 1 Peter, and then 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. He's coming back in spite of the scoffers. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. In other words, you've been told this before. I'm just reminding you that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Of course, that's the time of Noah's flood, right? Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, the word of God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I'm going to pause just for a second and say this. That verse is only trying to remind us that God's not as wrapped up in time as you and I are. Don't read more into it than what it's saying, okay? One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Time is really man's invention, you know. God doesn't worry about time whatsoever. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Jesus told us through Peter's letter here that he would come back in spite of the scoffers. We were warned in this passage that because of the long suffering of the Lord, his patience, his compassion for people, his desire to see everybody get a chance to hear the gospel and receive it or reject it, his long suffering, because of his long suffering and his very compassionate desire to see men and women saved, that there would most certainly be scoffers who would doubt his second coming. These scoffers, of course, boast greatly against the Lord and against his promises to return by saying things like, yeah, we've been hearing that for generations. I mean, way back, the founding fathers of our quote-unquote religion were telling us that Jesus is coming back. And look, he's not back yet. He's not coming back. That's just a fairy tale that people made up. All right, go ahead and scoff if you want, but that doesn't change God's promise. That doesn't change God's promise at all. These scoffers boast and scoff because they don't know the Lord as their Savior, and they don't understand the Word of God. They don't believe the Word of God. They don't take it into their heart. They don't understand that Jesus is waiting. Why? Because he loves people. And he wants as many to be prepared for his coming as possibly is possible. He wants to see men and women get saved. Listen, he was waiting for folks like Jake to trust Jesus as his personal Savior. How many other Jakes are out there? Hundreds. And God is waiting for them to hear the gospel and get saved. And then he will return. Always remember that our Lord's seeming delay doesn't mean he's not coming. I know this, and you should know this. We all should know this. The date is already set. We speak about it this way because, again, we're so wrapped up in time. Well, if the Lord delays his coming, friend, God's not going to delay his coming. That date's already set. And when that date gets here, he's coming. He's not delaying it. He already knows the day and the time and the hour and the minute and the second that he will return. But the scoffers use that to ridicule and mock Bible-believing Christians like us. Friend, be assured of this. Jesus is coming back just like he promised. Amen. He's coming back. All right, so number one, Jesus told us he was coming back. Number two, he told us how he would come back. Number three, he told us he would come as a thief in the night. Number four, he told us many people would be overtaken with surprise and shock. Number five, he told us that he would come back in spite of the scoffers. Boy, are they going to be surprised, huh? Number six, my last thought for tonight, or today. Seems like night already, doesn't it? Been a long sermon. He told us, number six, he's coming back for those who look for him. Go to the book of Hebrews. So we're backing up now to the left in our Bible. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. All these verses we're looking at are in the New Testament. All these verses give us reminders and warnings about the fact that our Lord is going to return, just like he said. But notice Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Not everybody's going to be looking for him. In fact is, I believe I'm right when I say this, the vast majority of humanity will not be looking for his return. The vast majority of humanity will not be looking for his return. Those who are born again, who love our Lord, who believe the Bible, will be looking for him. And if you compare it against all of humanity, it's only a small remnant of people that will be looking for him. The truth is, many of the people that populate the earth at this time will not be looking for him whatsoever. They will be involved in, just like Matthew says, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, you know, all those kind of things, just involved with life, not even thinking about the Lord's return. Now, in that remnant, which actually amounts to thousands of people, like you and me, they will be looking for him. Who are these folks? Well, these are the saved. These are the born again. These are those who are prepared. These are those who love him. These are those who are part of his heavenly family. These are those who are actually expecting him to return most any day. All of those descriptions describe the same group of people, people that are waiting for him, looking for him, watching for him, very excited to see him when he does return. I have this question for all of us. Are you among that very special group of people? I got to be honest with you. I was really hoping he would come back before I finished. What a great subject to be talking about when the Lord returns. Wow. But if you're not among that group of people, you can be today. You can take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, have your sins forgiven, your name forever sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can be ready for his return. And so in this message, we've talked about the second coming of our Savior. We've been reminded that he told us he's coming back. He told us how he's coming back. He told us he'd come as a thief in the night. He told us many will be overtaken with surprise and shock when it happens. He told us that he'd come back in spite of the scoffers. He told us he's coming back for those who are looking for him. Jesus is coming back a second time. His word says so. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready? Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Jesus said in our very opening text, I will come again. Are you ready? Father in heaven, thank you for the promises in your word. So many scriptures, and we didn't hit all of them, but so many scriptures speak about your return for your own, for those who love you and are looking for you. May we be found among that number. Just like the song we sang right before the message, Jesus is coming again. May we be ready for that and watching for that each and every day. Bless this invitation, Lord. Have your will to be done in everyone's heart, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.